He had long white hair and a neat beard. He held out both arms to show that he was weaponless.
You are fatigued, mes enfants. Welcome to the humble ville of Moudon. Here you may rest, and here you will be safe.
He turned on his heels, and after a brief pause, Ryan Cotter and his party followed the old man. There really wasn't anything else to do. Ryan walked to the side of the hut, feeling the narrow planks bend under his weight. He looked out through the slatted blind, past the mesh of the mosquito netting, and across the square of the small ville, down toward the swollen river. There were about 30 small wooden houses in the ville of Moudon, set in a rough rectangle along the river. Two or three swamp wags were tied to the posts of a wharf.
If they was going to fucking butcher us, they'd have fucking done it by now.
It makes sense, Ryan. Why bring us here?
Damned if I know. I just know that something here doesn't set right.
I feel that, too. There's a scent, a taste, I don't know.
It seems to me, if I may venture my humble opinion, that we are better off here than out in that wilderness of mud and water being pursued by the living dead.
Lori says Doc speaks good.
Sure, no wonder. They promised to feed us in a few minutes, didn't they? Just make sure everyone keeps on their guard. And make sure that we eat different things, in case they put sleepers in it.
Within minutes, true to his promise, the old man, who told them his name was Tijon, entered the hut, followed by three young, slatternly women in dirty dresses of plain cotton. They carried dishes made of turned wood, with some battered metal forks and spoons.
You are hungry. We feed you. Later, you join us for dancing. We sing old songs. Jolet Blanc, Hippitayo, Mamou Blues. Dance to the accordion. A good time. It's Mardi, and we all love every man.
Will you stay and eat with us? I was hoping to find out something about the area.
No, I regret not. But eat and drink. The beer is good. The wine, not so good. But I guarantee that the crawfish and red snapper are fresh as tomorrow's sunrise. Gumbo and colored greens. Rice in plenty. Eat well, mes amis. Later we talk.
The dishes steamed enticingly. Following Ryan's orders, they tried to eat different things, but it wasn't easy. Everything looked and tasted delicious. Finnegan, in particular, managed to tuck into sizable portions of almost every sumptuous course. Ryan sampled the crab meat chowder and some trout cooked with spiced rice.
The beer tastes flat and thin to me, but I'm surprised to find such good eating in such a poor ville.
It's Mardi. Fat Tuesday. These aren't like them swampies. These are them Cajuns that Doc spoke of.
As they were wiping up the last smears of juice with fresh-baked cornbread, Tijon reappeared, smiling like an indulgent father, to see how well they'd eaten. He had obviously been drinking. The sour smell of home-brewed beer hung on his breath. He was still in a high good humor.
Well eaten, mes copains. Now you may join us for our feasting of Mardi. Older even than the sky bombs that changed the world. You said there had been trouble with the muties of Deep Swamp. They will not come here.
While some of the women tidied the hut, clearing away dishes and beakers, Tijon obliged Ryan and told them a little about where they'd landed up.
Lafayette's not far off. West Lowellton is closest suburb. There is fighting there.
Fighting? Between who?
The Baron and the Renegades.
What Baron? Local Lord of the Ville?
No, Mr. Cotter. More, much more. Baron Tourmont controls this whole... what is the word? Region? Oui, this region is his. We are his. Even the muties. We call them les morts vivants.
The living dead.
We can control them. Use them as slaves. But they are dangerous. Not to be trusted. They live in hovels deep within the bayous. The lost ones. We guard against them. Now and then, they take babies.
To ransom? For money? They ask you for jack for the babies?
No, no. They take the little ones to eat.
Ryan was interested in knowing more about the Renegades. From his experience, any man who stood against a local baron was likely to be a better man than those who lived on their knees in virtual serfdom. He also felt that Tijon was not being entirely open. To look at, he was the most hardy, trustworthy old-timer in many a country mile. But Ryan intuitively felt that it would be better not to turn your back on Tijon. His unhappiness was compounded by not being able to understand what the villagers of Mouton were saying to each other. Doc whispered that he could speak a little French, but the people hereabouts spoke a bastardized patois that he suspected was Creole French. On the surface, all seemed calm. On the surface. There was a long room at the far end of the hamlet where everyone had assembled and were drinking, dancing, and bellowing out in glee. Ryan made sure that everyone in his group carried their blasters, but he was reassured to find that the men of the small ville had no guns, though everyone wore a long, thin-bladed knife at the hip. The building shook to its rafters from the heavy stamping that passed for dancing in the bayous, to the accompaniment of a fiddle and an accordion. The latter was played by an immense fat man, his shirt sodden with sweat, toothless mouth open, revealing a tongue that was bizarrely forked. Gradually, the members of Ryan's group split apart as they entered into the spirit of the dance. Doc swung Laurie away, his legs kicking sideways, the girl smiling like a pretty doll in his arms.
When in Rome, laissez bon temps rouler!
Finn was eyeing a skinny girl who looked to be around 13. She sashayed up to him and whispered something into his ear.
Can I dance, Ryan?
Sure, but stick to dancing, Finn. Don't leave this room or I'll slit your fat windpipe.
Sure thing!
JB leaned against the bar, rubbing a pattern in the spilled beer with his forefinger. A huge woman, fully 6.5 feet tall, weighing around 350 pounds, came over and tapped him on the shoulder.
Dansez, mon petit!
What'd you say?
She ignored JB's question and jerked him forward,
what?
Pressing his face into her rolling breasts, nearly knocking his hat off and sweeping him onto the crowded dance floor.
Want a dance, lover?
That's a better offer than JB got.
Want it even more formal?
Yeah, sure.
Ryan grinned widely. The beer was loosening him up, and the food had been as good as any he'd eaten in a long time and a lot of miles. Christy composed herself, brushing back an errant strand of fiery hair from her cheek.
Miss Christy Roth of the Sanctuary of Harmony requests the pleasure of the next dance with Mr. Ryan Cawdor of... Of where?
From the Ville of Front Royal in the great state of Virginia, run by Baron Calder.
The blood drained from Ryan's face at the sudden voice. Once, years back, a whore in a gaudy house somewhere near Denver had kicked him in the groin in an attempt to rob him. He'd broken her arm to teach her a lesson, but the shocking pain remained a powerful memory. It had felt like the breath had been sucked clean out of his body. The feeling now was similar. Christy turned on her heels to face the ragged old man who stood behind her.
What'd you say?
He's the youngest run of Baron Calder, richest and most powerful man east of Ole Miss.
The speaker looked to be around 300 years old, but was probably somewhere between 60 and 90, with a filthy fringe of hair around a peeling scalp. He was not much over 5 feet tall, with a drooping shoulder that made him look like a hunchback. He was dressed in a variety of rags, held together with mud and spittle. His eyes were bright as stars. Ryan gaped at the hideous apparition. There was something vaguely familiar about the old man, but he couldn't set his mind to it.